Welcome back to Mr. Kak and Me. I am Chris, also known as Mr. Kak, and I am joined once again, so excited, by Andy Frisbee and Trevor Frisbee. You could say they might have a thing together. And we may have crossed that bridge last episode. I don't know. Who knows how I order these things. But we're back with the Frisbees. We're going to talk some more, but this time, beforehand, Trevor sent me a list of shows and movies. Now, was this a joint list, or was this a list that Trevor compiled for Trevor?
Yeah, I was trying to go downstairs one day, and she was like, she stood at the top of the stairs, and she said, "You cannot go any further until you give me three TV shows that we enjoy together." Oh my gosh, are we still doing this? And I came up with three of them somehow, didn't I?
I think you did.
Yeah.
So I
made it all the way to the bottom of the stairs and stayed down there for a while.
So I was at a work trip in Lexington, and it was like, no matter what show a coworker mentioned, I was like, "Oh yeah, I love that one. Love that one." And they were like, "Do you watch everything?" I'm like, "Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah." And so the girls on the team were like, "Get us a list of your favorite shows and podcasts," because we all travel so much that we listen to a lot of podcasts. And so I started it, and I was just like, but I want to take this really seriously, because if there's a show that I truly, truly love and I forgot it on this list, I'm going to be devastated. And so I asked Andy, "What are my favorites? What are your favorites? What am I forgetting?" I asked Trista, I asked Cody, I had all these people helping me. And so I finally sent the list over, and I mean, I feel like it's a winner. I've been told I should charge for it because it's
comprehensive.
I thought this was like a BuzzFeed thing where I was like supposed to check the boxes of shared loves. But listen, you do watch a lot of TV, and mm-hmm. That is not a judgmental statement. I personally feel like I happen to try to consume a lot of entertainment as well. People are always like, "Well, I've got, I'm off mountain biking and climbing." Well, okay, whatever. I like to watch TV. We each find our own passions wherever they may lie. And mine is in awesome television.
Adult women screaming at each other is therapy to me. It's what makes me whole. And I hear so often, "You're so lucky that Andy will watch this stuff with you." And I'm like, are you kidding me? He listens to the recap podcast without me. Like, no, he loves it just as much as I do. And real men watch Bravo. I'm sick of men acting like it's not good because it's delicious. And for the women out there that want to get their guys started on Bravo, the starter drug is Below Deck.
Below
Deck. It's the staff that works on motor yachts.
Wow.
And what goes on, kind of like the upstairs downstairs situation. And there's a little bit of the guests, normally just when the guests are behaving badly and like rich people, and how the staff deals with them. And so guys like it because it's, sailing. And Andy was in the Navy, so that's how I got him in there with the gateway drug. Like, "You'll love this." And so he started it. And then the next thing, like, there's previews for all the other shows. And he's like, "What's this? What's this? What's this?" And now we literally watch everything on there.
Or it was like some of her shows would be playing in the background, and I'd be off distracted doing something completely other than what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And something would happen, and I'd stop what I was doing, and I'd lean back and just say, "Hey, what did she say right there?" And like have to rewind it and just like catch me up, because something fun would happen. And I'd be like, "Oh, okay, I'm interested now." And then I'd go back to my thing. But it got to the point where I was just like, "Oh, this is not too bad." So
he would get mad at me if I watched it without him.
Yeah.
So not Bravo, but that's Andy. A similar story with me and my wife Stephanie is she always had TLC on, and that's how, like, hearing stuff happen. That's how I got into Dance Moms. That's how I got into Sister Wives. That's how I got into oh my gosh, I think Bring It is what it was called. There was one that was like a down south Dance Moms, but it's like, but they were from Jackson, Mississippi. And I loved how the guy said that. It was always great. But like, yeah, there would be moments where I'm like, "This is garbage, Stephanie." And then I'll hear something. It's like, and then he was going to marry another one. I was like, all right, so what's he doing now? Like, or I'd find myself being like, listen, Mary needs to get away from him. He's toxic to her. This relationship is falling apart. She understands it. She just needs to admit it to herself. And I'm like, ah, crap, I actually like the show. I'm watching it.
Yep. It sucks you in.
Sad for you. Christine's the one that left.
So I mentioned that to Stephanie. She goes, but hasn't Mary already been gone? I'm like, you know what? That is so true. Mary's basically gave up 2 seasons ago, and she's just there for the show. Like, you could tell Cody's checked out on her.
Well, true, but their adult child is no longer there. She's moved on, but Christine and his kids,
yeah,
they're still young.
Well, so listen, Cody's kind of a monster that craves young flesh, and I think he's putting all of his investment in Robin because he also sees that he can further his immortality by propagating his legacy and popping out another child through Robin. I do think he's a very vain, narcissistic, ego-tripping power guy, so listen, I am not a big fan of Cody Brown. Like,
anyone that keeps their hair like that purposefully...
I don't know, just this drive, this insane drive that, okay, I've had one wife, one family, I've had these kids, guess what? That's not enough for me. I need more of me to continue to thrive. So I must now pregnate this next host. And like, maybe I would feel wrong about my assessment had it not unfolded the way it has, where he, like, just season by season starts to slowly disregard one wife once they age out of his farming system, and he fixates on the youngest, newest wife, which a lot of people say at this point in time he just wants to be with Robin. That's the ultimate end game. And
I agree.
Whatever.
Well, okay, so with TLC, I feel like their editors need to kind of get it together because they tend to repeat the same thing over and over.
Fair.
And that irritates me. And like Sister Wives is one of the only shows that I can dip in and out of. Like I'm not devastated if I miss an episode because so little happens.
Yeah.
That it really doesn't matter. So truthfully, like this season I was watching every episode until your episode talking about it and how much you hated Cody and how awful he was. And I sat there and I listened and I said, oh my God, why am I giving him my time? I hate this man. And I
right.
haven't watched, like, yeah. have not back.
I did. There was one episode I watched, and it became evident in that episode. It's like, oh my God, they have the children as the camera crew right now during the quarantine. And like, they are having some awkward conversations between Cody and the wives. I'm like, oh, that's weird. That's so weird. But
oh, no.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to be, you know, not invested with that. Because, listen, the wives, they all seem great. The kids, you can't blame at all. But that man, there's something about that man. I love your all-time favorite. One, I love that you've categorized your list, Trevor. But I love your all-time favorite list because I look at that and yes, there are some that I've never seen. I've never seen United States of Tara, but like Happy Endings, The Newsroom, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I never got into Sex and the City, but I appreciate how much of a phenomenon it was at the time. Grey's Anatomy, again, I've seen episodes. I've seen my introduction to Grey's Anatomy was them waking up in a plane crash that occurred. I'm like, I thought this was a show about a hospital.
you're thinking about Lost.
No.
No. Sadly, I'm thinking about Grey's Anatomy.
It's true.
Which, to be fair, my introduction to Game of Thrones was a guy getting insinuated that his wiener got chopped off and turned into sausage. So, that like... I've walked into some weird points of series, and that makes or breaks, unfortunately. But, like, I love your list, and... I feel like this almost feels like a personality test. Like, I look at this and I think, you know what? You're probably a fun person. Also, Barry. I don't know who hasn't seen Barry, but you need to watch Barry. It is so good. Anything with Bill Hader is amazing.
It's phenomenal.
Bill Hader is an assassin? Come on.
I know, but he wants to be a performing actor. It's all great.
And I would tell people that if you haven't seen Barry, that if you want to get a taste of it, my favorite episode by far is season 2 with the little girl that is the little psycho that's like hanging from the ceilings.
Yes,
and
the gymnast? Is she a gymnast?
Yeah. And yeah, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Apparently the little girl that played was the actress. Both of her parents are actually stunt people. Uh-oh. And so she'd already been trained to do all these stunts, and she was not even written into the show. And they met her and thought that she was just insane. So wrote this entire episode just around her. And it's just hilarious. Just love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
So I'll throw this out there. I don't know if you would like it or not, either one of you, because I look at this list and I don't see a lot of comic book stuff. But if you want something that's inherently, yes, it's a comic book property, but at no time does it ever really truly feel like a comic book other than some of the overtop storylines playing out. It's a show called Doom Patrol. It's on HBO Max. Yes. It's got Brendan Fraser in it. It's got oh my gosh, that beautiful man. Matt Bomar? Is that his name?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He is beautiful.
He is.
It is characters you've never heard of before. It's miserable. It's a tragedy. It is a comedy tragedy playing out, which is why I like it. I like when sometimes the superhero trope does not end up being what the story is about for a superhero show, he says. With quotation marks, I know this is audio only, so I guess I have to clarify that.
I agree. Like, we watch all the Marvel properties, but I'm not huge on action. So when the action sequences are happening, I could just take a nap. I do not care at all. For me, it's all the connections and the storylines. My brother does watch Doom Patrol. He told me I would love it. My list right now of to-dos is so long, and it's on the list. It's definitely on the list. I've just got to get to it.
I think you would love it too, because the action is almost tertiary to what's going on. If there is an action moment, it's like being built up. Like, all right, we're gonna go and fight this bad guy, but then it like turns into the girl that happens to have 65 personalities within her that each have superpowers are now wrestling within her minds with amongst each other, or the brain that's in a robot now has Parkinson's and he's dealing with the effects of like the only living tissue he has. It's unfortunate. There are moments where I'm like, this, like, it has to get better for these people. Like, this is just so rough. But yet I think there is something very cathartic about getting that emotional, just like, laceration every time you watch some of these tragic tales. And I saw The Leftovers on your list, and that was basically a gut punch every other episode. It's like, you tried. Not hard enough.
I would tell people, just don't watch the first season. It's too much. It's so depressing. There's no redemption for those people. It's just really, really sad. The second season, it's like they learned from all their mistakes. I mean, I heard a critic say, which made so much sense to me, why the first season was completely miserable to watch, was even at a funeral, people laugh. And there was absolutely no humor in the first season. So they kind of revamped it. Second season was great. So were the rest. And it was one of those that you have to be emotionally prepared for. But I love Justin Theroux. Like, he can wear a plain t-shirt like nobody else can.
I loved his episodes where he was singing in the lounge. He was a lounge singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the weird, like, is this really happening moments. I did like those parts of it, too.
Well, like, and I really get into showrunners. So, like, I love Damon Lindelof, who created it. And he also created Watchmen. And, like, I'll watch anything he does. I'll watch anything Jason Katniss does. He created Parenthood and Friday Night Lights and a bunch of those shows. And I'll watch anything that Casey Wilson's husband does. I will call him that because she's more important than he is.
Dang. But
David Cass, he did Happy Endings. He does Black Monday. Champagne Hill.
Oh, yeah.
I just love his sense of humor. And the same with... I can think of his production company right now, but it's Doozer, which does Scrubs, Ted Lasso,
so.
Cougar Town, tons of shows. Bill Lawrence, that's his name, Bill Lawrence. So yeah, there's just like a lot of just that I follow. So as soon as I see that they're creating something new, I know I'm going to watch it. Oh, The Kings as well. Like the ones that made The Good Wife and The Good Fight and Evil. They are so creative. Their writing style is so unique. I just have some of the, I just kind of stopped.
What about you, Andy? What's your go-to faves?
Man, I get made fun of all the time for this, but I like to zone out by watching bulldozer videos on YouTube.
You and my son would be best of friends.
I'm telling you what, man, it's a good, nay, a great way to shut your brain off at the end of the day. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Well, he's big into heavy machinery right now, so I get a lot of cement mixer, excavator, loader. Like, he knows all of the heavy machinery at this point, at the ripe age of 2.5.
I just think it's great to just sit here and kind of unwind and just watch a guy take out a pond dam and just drain a pond. Then we're like, we're going to take all this mud and just stack it up over here. Like, let's go do that. It's a good time.
Andy, I feel like your list might be a little bit drastically different than Trevor's list.
It's significantly shorter, I'll tell you that. But.
Well, I would hope.
I'm not interested in watching things about heavy equipment or heavy haul, considering I literally, playground or my park growing up was just flatbed trailers.
That's a great point.
See if you can jump from one to the other. Try not to bust your face. So I'm good. I'm good on heavy equipment for a while.
To be fair, that's the story of everyone's youth in Ozark. all right, we're going to jump this stuff. Hopefully we don't die.
You're not wrong.
My goodness. I don't know. Like, again, I love all the mindless entertainment out there. And like, your list reminds me of things I need to like rewatch and see. And I'm so glad that y'all have Midnight Mass on there, because I was going to bring it up if you didn't.
That's a good one.
That is a good one, right?
Another showrunner, I'll watch anything they do as well.
Oh my gosh. That was tough though, especially
the canoe scene.
Yeah, yes. And his story, I forget what his name is in the show, but the guy that you think's the protagonist, like his arc all the way up until that point. And the episode where it's him and his lady friend talking about what they think happens when you die.
That was gorgeous.
It was beautiful, but I also had like existential crisis like during the moment. Like, God, what does happen if I die?
Oh gosh, I used to have. Well, I used to get a little bit too stoned in the backyard, and then my brain. That's where that would be my freak out point. Is like, what? How am I going to die? What's going to happen the moment that I die? And I would start, that would start a downward spiral for me. And I was like, I got to go inside. Like, this is done. So.
Well, I think about how he's going to die quite often too.
Oh.
Because he's 8 years older than me. And typically men and women of the same age, women live 7 years longer. So that's already a 15-year gap that I'm expected to be just kicking it without him. I've already made plans with plenty of my friends that we're just going to have a Golden Girls situation and like live out our best lives the best we can. Definitely bingo. I mean, for sure bingo. And trivia, because we got to keep our minds sharp, but shuffleboard as well. Yeah. So, I have plans.
Nice. It's good to have plans. It's good to have plans. And as the guy, all you have to worry about, Andy, is like, what will happen when I die? I don't have to worry about the rest of it.
Oh, whatever.
So Andy, mine wasn't necessarily getting high. Mine's just like, I'll be taking a shower and at one point, like, all right, does my brain keep thinking? Like, will I be able to view stuff? Like, cease to exist? Like, am I okay if I cease to exist? Like, do I want this all to just shut off and be black, or do I want to like continue?
Came up with the, what kind of ghost do you think you would be?
I was going to say, it's great that Trevor has seen ghosts, because now, Trevor, you don't have to worry about missing Andy. He can come back and haunt you.
That is great.
Like, hey, who's this guy in my bed?
Why is Trista always here? Get her out.
At our last house, we had a ghost, and she was lovely.
Susan.
All of a sudden the lights flicker.
I've doomed us.
No, she was lovely. She was the one that owned the house and died. She had cancer. All of the neighbors loved her and missed her very much. And so we know her visiting was just checking on us and stuff. And we still got her mail, and we tell her, like, we got your mail. And she actually saved us one time from the house burning down. So, I mean, I liked her. I told her I'd miss her, and if we could bring her with us, we would. But I think she wanted to stay in that house, so she stuck around.
Of course. Okay, so you all started with the, hey, we're going to go see the Eternals this weekend. Are you excited? Do you know what you're getting into? Like, what are the thoughts going? You said you watched all the Marvel movies. Like, do you have an interest? Like, I know the action doesn't necessarily appeal to you, and unfortunately, Marvel's pretty formulaic when it comes to everything. It's like, hey, we're going to have action.
Well, first of all, I like that Kamal is ripped. Like,
he's very buff, yes.
Loving that. I can't wait to see that part. I also love that Jon Snow and Robb Stark are both in it.
Oh, yeah.
No complaints there. I don't know how it all relates to the rest of it, which is what kind of intrigues me, is not having a clue how they connect and kind of getting to start over into like the new section of Marvel. So I'm excited.
It's definitely different. I went and saw it last weekend. It's definitely different. And especially if you're looking for something different in Marvel, you may, it may be like something that's right up there for you. It's a director who definitely took a different spin on it. Now, we'll see how people like it. Right now, it's getting heavily panned by critics and stuff like that, but anything that involves certain elements within today's society is going to be heavily panned.
Talking about Angelina Jolie.
Yes, yes, and she's lovely in it. Yes, you know, just so happens two loving men in a committed relationship kiss in this and have a child. Yeah, so that's why a lot of people hate it.
Okay, well,
ooh, maybe it's
the it's also hey, spoiler alert, it's Marvel's first sex scene. Hey,
Dickens.
Oh,
hey,
I never considered that.
Hey,
well, okay, so.
Also, those two aren't related. The Marvel did not get that sassy. It was like, listen, not only are we going to have our first openly gay relationship on a MCU movie, but they're also going to have sex. No. The sex was guy girl for the Disney audience.
Boring.
Yeah,
I know.
Say that it's, you know, they kind of compared it to WandaVision, where it's not very superhero-y, not very comic booky, and
yeah,
they're like,
that's fair.
You know, kind of trying out these different ways to bring in these characters, which is what I want to see. I loved WandaVision because it wasn't cheesy superhero stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think I'll like it, but.
Whereas I have been loving What If. Like,
really?
And I'm into it.
I stopped watching it.
I've only watched the zombie episode. I just, cartoon stuff, like I've got to be in the mood and it's got to be like Japanese. Otherwise, I don't know if I can watch it.
Yeah, I have a hard time with cartoons. I'll watch Big Mouth and Bob's
Archer,
yeah. But that's about it. And I also kind of feel like this, like, the whole concept of the show What If is in an alternate universe, this would have happened. What if this happened instead? And to me, that's like, okay, we can revisit that, but that's not what happened. And it feels like a waste of time.
Well, it's not what happened in your universe. If we're really exploring the multiverse theory.
So, yes, you're not wrong. I think for me, if it would have been more butterfly effect-y instead of what if T'Challa was the one that actually would have been like, well, how does that even connect? Like, where was the true connection there? Now, like, if it was something else like that where, like, maybe you could tie it together better of, like, you know, Chris Pratt's character, Star-Lord, the future Star-Lord's, like, running out there to the field. Instead of getting picked up, someone else who happens to live in that area, who's also a Marvel character, also crosses path at a young time, and he's the one. But, like, T'Challa, really? Like, he's the one. Listen, Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace, is an amazing voice and an amazing talent. So, yeah, you can't argue with it. But at the same time, it's like, the one that I thought did good. So I said I've only watched the zombies, but I did watch the first one with Steve Rogers. That one, where there was an actual, a moment that happened in the first movie with Captain America, and then Agent Carter pushes him out of the way, and that kicks off. That's perfect. If you give me stuff like that, where it reasonably makes as much sense as a comic book movie can, of how this changed stuff, like, that's awesome. Sure.
Yeah, that's a connective thread that the others didn't have.
Yeah. But also, I just like the zombies because zombies.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can't talk about Marvel without giving a shout out to my girl, Sarah Beth Wallace Bennett.
I didn't realize how much she's been involved with stuff. Yeah. That's amazing.
Bananas, right?
Yeah. So her biggest shout out lately has been she did the opening sequence to Loki. The ones were about halfway through the season. It changed to where it was every character's famous line.
Yep. Yep.
I hated that and has gotten so much press over it. And it's just like moving up with Marvel and has a lot of exciting things on the horizon, but just incredible. Like, hey, Bubba.
Yeah. I think you're the one that shared something about it. I was like, oh my gosh. The same Sarah Beth that I know, like, what? Yeah. Like, and so I backtrack. I'm like, I played softball with her husband. Like,
yeah. She has worked on several Marvel projects. And I mean, just keeps getting asked back. And at some point she'll be in the middle of one and they'll say, we need you more on this one and move her over to
the next.
That's
awesome.
It's just really exciting.
So, since you like Marvel, there's another, and since you like a little bit different side of Marvel, you liked WandaVision, correct?
I did, very much.
So now this one may not be truly as different as WandaVision was, but Hawkeye is about to come out, and the trailer for it seems like we're getting, like, Christmas hijinky, like, Die Hard type stuff with a kind of grizzled old Jeremy Renner. And I'm all on board with that. Haley Steinfeld, give her sassy butt in there, sure, but, like, gruffy Jeremy Renner, I think I'm on board.
Yeah, if it didn't have the introduction of his daughter and her kind of taking over the post, I don't know that I would care about it. I'd still watch it. I would get through it probably, but I would be like, why do I care about this? But the fact that she's like taking over and is sassy and is like gonna have a fun, cute little personality, then I'm on board with that. More girls.
I don't love an assassin who only uses a bow.
It's fair.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's fair. It's not the most effective weapon to be using in the 21st century.
It's not plausible.
But he has better dexterity with that than a gun, apparently.
Great. How many arrows can he create at a time?
Like he also has better hearing now because his hearing hasn't been damaged over the years of being in close proximity to gunfire.
That is so true. But I mean, Daryl from The Walking Dead has a unlimited amount of bows.
Out all the time. He just reuses it.
You don't think those things break over time?
Over time.
And how is he just coming upon this many arrows just up on his journey?
It's almost like it's a fictional movie based in a made up world.
That's fair. A made up world of Georgia.
You know what? Said, I don't like my assassins with a bow and arrow. And
guess what? Right.
They're made in a fictional world.
What are bows?
Hawkeyes.
Arrows.
Georgia.
You're talking about arrows are fictional.
Bows and arrows. Very bows fictional.
Arrows. Both of them. Conspiracy. Just like birds. They're fake as shit.
The government. Well,
They're drones. So, if you like sassy girls, have you seen a series that's out on Hulu called Only Murders in the Building?
Yes.
Yep. I like that. I like that one.
Are you kidding me? Oh.
I did not like Selena Gomez's character at first, she just didn't really have a personality, and you know, it kind of seemed like, okay, maybe that's intentional, but like, also I think it's hard. Like, if you're not coming out guns blazing with Steve Martin and Martin Short as your fellow leads, like, you're gonna get left in the dust.
Well, and then my favorite part of the whole show was the small detail that Martin Short is obsessed with dips. And, like, I totally relate to that.
Yeah.
I am fine with just, like, dipping chips and things and never actually getting out a fork or a knife. Like, that sounds like a dream to me. And, in fact, it is my dinner quite often.
Let it be known right now, we are a tapas household.
We are.
Oh. I like cheese dip. Does that count?
Queso is my lifeblood.
My daughter really loves it, too. She gets really sad when we talk about cheese dip and it's anything other than white queso.
Oh, I'm a yellow.
You're a yellow. You're what Stobie's down in Conway would call cheese dip, girl.
I like Tex-Mex better than authentic.
I do like Tex-Mex. There's definitely a time and a place for Tex-Mex, especially since my young heart was driven by Tex-Mex, going to some of the fine establishments that Van Buren and Fort Smith could provide a young Christopher
El Chico,
Cagle.
Baby. El Chico.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I did have my two updated travel stories to tell you.
Yes.
Life on the road. So I went to Lexington for a meeting and get there. All my flights have been canceled on the way there, which is typical for me. And so I didn't actually get to the hotel until maybe like 12:30 that night. And it was Eastern time. So I was already messed up with time zones and stuff, tired. I walk in and I had met a handful of people that I worked with, but I have only been at this company 2.5 years and COVID happened. So we all, you know, work from home. So typically we only see each other once a year for these meetings, but none of those had happened since I came about. So I'd only met a couple and there was a whole other region that was going to be there and I had not met any of them. So I walk into the lobby and I'm going up, you know, the elevator to my room and this guy jumps on the elevator with me and he's, I don't know, early 40s, like a very nice looking guy. And he says, "Oh, I didn't get 2 spoons. And I just look at him and I go, "What?" And he goes, "For this ice cream." And he had a pint of Ben and Jerry's. And he's like, "I'll share it with you if you want." And I was like, okay, does he know who I am? And I don't know who he is.
It's very precious that you're trying to make this in your mind a good story at the time.
And I was like, this is definitely, it has to be a guy I work with that, because I have pictures on like my teams, but a lot of the older gentlemen do not. And so I was like, huh. And so I'm just being polite, like, this is probably a coworker and he's hammered. So, okay. And he goes, "Fifth floor." And I go, "Uh-huh." And he hits the fifth floor. And then he's like walking down the hall in front of me. And he goes, "All right, well, I'm just down the hall in room, blah, blah, blah. If you decide you want some ice cream, I can go get a second spoon and we can share it." I'm like, this guy thinks I'm someone else. What just happened? So I go down to the meeting the next morning, fully expecting to figure out who this is. Never see him again.
Yeah, well, you avoided death, I assume, at this point in time, Trevor.
Was he even real?
Oh, hey, that's a great question.
It's another ghost. Ice cream ghost.
I mean, at this point in time,
me ice cream is invited.
Listen, at this point in time, it's hard to tell if we're in a simulation or not. Like, so many weird coincidental things happen. It's just like, all right, listen, I'm in the Matrix. I need someone to get me out of it. Or do I want to get out of it? Maybe I'll just keep letting the simulation go. That seems pretty content in here for right now.
Right. Like, how often are you taking a shower in the morning and you're so tired and you think, am I even really awake or is this a dream right now? And you have to like convince yourself that you're really awake. Is that just me?
That's never happened to me.
Oh, it happens to me a lot.
All right.
I just have conversations with people. I'm like, haven't I already had this with you before? Like, how am I having this conversation with the same person again this year? Like, I don't understand that at all.
Right. Well, okay. So my other travel story happened last night, actually.
Oh, wow.
And I was in the beautiful town of Jonesboro, Arkansas.
How far do you want to go with your education? Ha ha, take that, Arkansas State.
So I go to sleep pretty early. I wake up at midnight to use the facilities and, you know, sit down on the toilet and go to pee. And I think, wow, this is why people get heated toilet seats. Like, this is cold. And I like go to look and see if there is a vent or something blowing on it that's making it so cold. And so as I like lean back to look up, there is like the fart vent above me and it is like leaking water, like just water falling on my head. And I was like, oh my God. So I jump up and I turn on the light and like my bathroom has flooded. Since I went to bed 3 hours before that, and it is just like flooded. And I was like, oh my God. And so I call the front desk, who calls maintenance, and the maintenance guy comes in and he looks annoyed. And he says, well, here's another room key. If you want to switch rooms, it's up to you. You know, if this is a big issue to you.
If your bathroom being underwater is such a big deal.
I was like, are you going to fix it tonight? Because if you want to fix it tonight, you want me out of here, go ahead. But I'm going back to bed and I'm tired. And if I need the bathroom in the other room, I'll go over there if I need to. And he goes, okay. And I was like, well, come look at it. So he comes and looks and he goes, oh God. And I'm like, what? And he goes, it's really leaking. I was like, yeah, bro, it is really leaking. And he goes, I thought it was just maybe a room next to you. They were taking a really hot shower, so you were just getting some condensation or something.
So natural.
And I'm like, really, dude? You think at midnight, I wake up from a dead sleep, turn on all the lights, see a little bit of condensation, and think, I should call this maintenance man that I've never met. And I'm in my pajamas, and I'm traveling alone, and I should let him in my room to see some condensation. Do you really, really, really think that that was the plan? And he's like, ooh. So I go, well, you should probably go upstairs and see what's going on, because I guarantee that they have something overflowing up there. And he's like, okay. So he leaves. I never see him again. I go to bed. I go to check out this morning, and I asked them what was going on above me. And she said that he goes upstairs and knocks on the door, and they did not answer, but they did turn the water off. So there was something overflowing.
All right.
And then by the time I was leaving that morning, she said that they still had not checked out. They could have, you know, kind of snuck out and not checked out. But at this point, the room was still open, so they still had not gotten to the bottom of it. But, I mean, I'm just going to guess that they left a sink or a bathtub or something running and passed out.
Yeah, murdered someone, exactly.
Okay, yeah. And so a lot of the theories that have been thrown around is definitely it was an organ harvest, you know, a bathtub full of ice, organ harvest situation.
Who are these theories from?
Oh, all the people. Trista mostly.
Oh, yeah.
Keith Morrison would say, oh, my.
Oh, my.
Go on.
Maybe there was a liver.
Maybe it was just a maybe it was just a guess. Maybe it was a harvest. We'll find out.
Is the maintenance man even alive?
I was waiting for like the front desk to be like, "What maintenance man?" Ah, yes, we got our ghost story.
We have a maintenance man for 25 years.
Yeah. We lost the maintenance man in that flood back in 2004.
So anyway, I mean, it's just always an adventure, always, always, always an adventure. And I'm very particular about where I stay in the hotel because I have an app where I can actually pick my room.
Yeah.
I won't stay on the first floor because it freaks me out having the windows right there. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to stay on anything but the second floor because I've been in plenty of hotels where the fire alarm won't stop going off. And you have to go up and down those stairs 14 times a night because the firefighters make you come out of your room every single time it goes off, even though they know it's not a fire.
Yeah.
And I've learned be on the second floor so you don't have to go up 15 flights of stairs. So it's just like little things like that where I try to control the situation the best I can, but still yet there's a lot you can't control when the people above you are harvesting organs.
Exactly. And at this point in time, I don't know what else needs to be said, but if you're out there and you see Treva or Andy, wait, right quick. I saw both of you and like I had a panic attack of like, should I honk? Should I yell? I'm driving past him. I did nothing. Like I eventually messaged Trevor. I was like, I think I saw you, which I said I think because maybe there's like a 1% doubt, but it was you, Andy, and your dog going up College Ave Hill. I'm like, I saw them. Like I know that was them, but like maybe I have to leave it up for debate of like maybe it wasn't because there is always that moment where I think I see someone, and I saw Trista on Dixon one time when I was leaving work. I was like, oh, I could yell, and this person be like, I'm Shanda. Why are you yelling at me? I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm creepy. See you later.
Got so many people yelling at her on Dixon. Hey, get the hell out of here. You wouldn't have even noticed.
And if you think you see Trista on Dixon, it's Trista on Dixon.
It's probably Trista on Dixon.
Yeah, but I was so shocked because, listen, I know y'all live in Fayetteville, but I was like driving by, like, oh my gosh, my first, like, wild sighting of the Frisbees. Like,
okay. We walked that same hill tonight.
Yeah,
so
man.
We've been there.
We're out there. We're out there with the people.
Okay? Dang. For office, listen, all you got to do is take down the army of Duggar families, and they've taken a publicity hit. So
he's running for Senate again.
The son or the dad?
I don't know. One of them.
Well, listen, one of those sons can't do anything, so they just need to stop.
Ankle monitor and maybe just...
Yeah, whatever.
Chill out a little bit.
I'm just waiting for our eventual overlord, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, to come and right all the wrongs of this state.
A smoky eye for every lady.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, man.
What you hiding under that eyeshadow, Sarah?
Lies. Lies.
That's why there's the dark. She got lots of secrets.
All the stuff I had to hold back while I was speaking for he who shan't be named, because it leads to such arguments for no reason. So I'm not gonna say that name. Voldemort is real. It's just there's names that can't be said unless you incur the wrath. So instead, whatever. Go watch TV, you knuckleheads, you weirdos. Yeah. All right. So it's getting late. I don't want to keep y'all up, but we definitely need to do this again, the two of you. Crap, maybe we get really weird and I bring Stephanie in and we just have a double date podcast.
Yeah.
But she really is. She's great. She's amazing. I love that little lady in there. I know. But yeah, this has been Mr. Kakameet, Andy, Trevor. Thank you both so much.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
It's been truly enlightening to learn a little bit more about you. I will never not picture Andy without rhinestones ever again in my imagination.
Yeah. And the cowboy hat.
Listen, Andy, sometimes that cowboy hat's got to come off.
Up under my arm, a cowboy hat on my head, rhinestone shorts, clomping down through the parking lot. Guys, I got myself a girlfriend today. Pretty cool, huh?
I got my TV for the bedroom and a lady for my life. Yep.
Got her a case of Lamoritas. Let's go.
Got her a case of Lamoritas. She's good to go, fellas. Don't you worry about it.
Gonna marry that lady.
I'm gonna marry that girl.
Andy, you just met her. Calm down. Nope.
Nope.
As sure as that TV's getting bought off that pallet, that lady's gonna be. Well, you both are great. I always love talking to you both individually and now together. So we'll definitely do this again. Thank y'all so much, Mr. Kakameet. See y'all next week.
See y'all.